Well, it's my final trip down memory lane for interviews, and since this is our last show, I thought I'd bring back an interview about another show that was in its final season, my interview with Mad Men's co-producer Josh Weltman, author of the book Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling. He takes us through Don Draper's killer instincts for marketing and fun behind-the-scenes look at all of the branding expertise and little details that made the show the success it was for so many years. Enjoy. With the start of Mad Men's new season, Mad Men co-producer Josh Weltman has just published his first book based on the insights of his 25 years in the advertising business. He's worked as creative director, co-producer, writer, and artist, and has created the ad campaigns for Taco Bell, Doritos, BMW, Microsoft, and Whole Foods, to name a few. Now, Josh has been part of Mad Men since the show's first season, and he works closely with Matthew Weiner and the show's writers and producers to help ensure that Mad Men accurately depicts the process of creating ads and servicing clients. He also creates most of the original ads seen on the show. His new book is Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling, and he joins me now. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the world of advertising has changed a little in these years that you've been practicing. What is different and what has stayed the same?
Well, I think the media is the thing that's changed the most. I mean, the digital revolution and online media is the thing that's most different. And human nature, what makes people buy things, has probably changed the least. You sort of have those two things clashing together right now.
Do you think that most people who are really not trained in this area are spending more time on the technology, but they're forgetting what compels people to buy?
I think that's exactly right. You know, I wrote the book because most people today don't feel equipped to craft messages or take action with the same confidence and certainty as Mad Men's Don Draper. And I think it's two things that confound them. I think, first, that most people are a lot less familiar with the principles of persuasion than they are with the means. And what I mean by that is, you know, everybody listening knows how to send 140 characters to millions of people around the world, but they don't really know what makes a message persuasive and what doesn't. And the second thing that confounds people is the recent and rapid changes in new digital media technology doing the job hard for even experts who do understand the principles of persuasion. There's just so many different platforms and media to choose from, clients and businesses and people are very confused about what's the best media to do the job.
The fact, too, is that there is so much more noise that has to be parsed through or broken through in order to get your message out there. What does one really have to do in order to solve that problem?
Well, it's tough because, you know, to break through and to get people to notice you, you have to be surprising. And to come up with a message that's both surprising and informative is really the art of the advertising and communication business, you know, even the entertainment business. You want people to tune in and not be able to take their eyes off the television show because they're familiar enough to love the characters and can't possibly imagine what they're going to do next.
Right. The book is Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling. My guest is Josh Weltman. He is the co-producer on the TV show Mad Men. Josh, you mentioned in your book that so many people say to you that advertising is lying, but you take you take exception to that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it doesn't really help companies or products or brands in the long run to lie. You have to base a successful advertising or persuasive campaign on some human truth, you know, on something inside people that makes them want to buy the product or service. And if you don't get that right, you know, people listening are just going to call BS right away, you know, so it does not do you, your company, or anybody's reputation any good to lie. It's also illegal, you know. I think people get lying, you know, confused with sort of puffery.
Yeah,
you know, that
yeah.
sort of thing. What you want to do is you want to set expectations at a level that products and services can meet or exceed, because I think that's what makes people happy. you know, when reality meets or exceeds their expectations, you get a happy customer. So better than lying is to adjust the bar to kind of the right level.
What is the basic motivation for someone who's trying to get the message out? Not the motivation so much, but the message to a potential customer. What do they want that customer to feel?
Well, that's a great question. I think it depends on what business result they're trying to achieve with the message. I've always found that there have been about four of those different business results and four different kinds of ads that kind of inspire them. You either want people to inquire about the ad. You want to increase inquiries or clicks or phone calls or something like that. And that's usually a new product.
Curiosity.
Or you want to bump sales or traffic immediately, you know, and to do that, you have to impart or evoke a sense of urgency. And you do that with limited time offers or deals or things. Most common in what we really think of advertising is when companies are trying to distinguish themselves from other choices that consumers have. You know, they're trying to answer that question for customers of what makes them different. And in those ads, you're trying to make people familiarize people with the one unique feature that makes your product or service different from anybody else's in the market. And in the fourth kind of ad, you're trying to protect margins or increase margins by making people feel like they're part of an exclusive club, mm-hmm. you know, sort of in partnership with an advertiser or company of which they're of like mind and shared values.
So as you're speaking, some companies come to mind. Some of the more obvious ones, like Starbucks, comes to mind. That's a club. Apple, of course, comes to mind. Can you take us through very briefly how, let's say, an Apple is able to achieve these four aspects of good messaging?
Oh, my God. Apple's the best at it. Whenever they come out with a new product, the first thing they do is buy lots of billboards that really make you curious about seeing that product. You know, so that's the first thing you want to do is you want to show people enough of the product to make them curious, but not so much that you've answered every question because you want them to inquire further about it. And the next thing that you typically do is get them to try it. I remember when, geez, a long time ago, probably before most of the listeners were born, but the 1984 spot that introduced the computer Macintosh mm-hmm. was such a success in the third quarter of the Super Bowl in 1984. But then Apple did a brilliant thing, which is they followed that ad up with a limited time offer called Test Drive a Macintosh, where, you know, they made these Macs available for people to take home and try and get their hands on. And you know, as if you were test driving a car, they really wanted people to experience it. So then the third sort of ad in the process is, again, make people familiar with the one most unique thing about it. And the fourth kind of ad is make people celebrate the difference between your customer rather than your product. Talk about what makes your customers unique. You know, you get to that part of the relationship between the consumer and the company where the advertising is really saying, you know, enough about me and what I make. Let's talk about you and why I'm so happy to have you as a customer. Apple is their Think Different campaign, I would say, would fall into that category.
Well, I don't see Apple offering us free anything these days. I guess they don't have to, right? Back then they had to, but not these days.
Everything. Oh, no. That was before they had retail stores that were packed with people who had their hands all over the things now. Yeah. You know, they came up with a different way to get people in the store and get their hands on the product.
The book is Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling. The author is co-producer for the show Mad Men. I mean, he shares his 25 years of insights to the advertising business and also helps Mad Men get it right. Very briefly, what is your actual role at Mad Men?
I started out as the first advertising consultant on the first season. I was joined by a second advertising consultant named Bob Levinson. The second season, and both Bob and I have been with the show, you know, through the completion, season 7. And what we do is we work with the writers and executive producer, Matt Weiner, to make sure or try and help make sure that the show accurately depicts the process of creating ads and servicing clients, and we come up with the business stories that get the characters emotionally where Matt wants to take them.
You know, I did read that the idea behind John Hamm's character is that he's so flawed in every other aspect of his life, at least we can trust that he's going to get the advertising part right.
That's been very important to Matt and the show, I think, from the get-go, that Don is good at his job.
Right.
You know, people want to root for him. They've seen him be brilliant. They like when he's succeeding, and it breaks the audience's heart and heart for him, you know, when he gets in his own way.
You know, going back 2,500 years to Aristotle, you bring up a point in your book of something that he developed called the enthymeme, which is a two-part statement which both confuses, then explains. And if I may, let me just read this. Here's a typical sentence. London has everything a man could possibly want to see or do, but instead it can be written, and it was written by a great writer, when a man is tired of London, he is tired of life. Explain that to us in an advertising way.
Sure. What that's talking about is the idea that you have to intrigue people and get them curious about hearing your message. And the idea of an enthymeme is, like you said, a two-part statement, where if the first part confuses, the second part explains. And if the first part explains, the second part confuses. So you hang on every word to get the whole thing, like the setup and the punchline of a joke. But one of the things that I noticed doing when I first started advertising is this same idea was being used in modern advertising with a little bit of a twist. What was going on was in print advertising, if the visual confused, then the headline would explain.
Yeah.
And if the headline confused, then the visual would explain. And the idea is, with those two pieces working together, people would sort of be flipping through a magazine and suddenly there's this discord, there's this confusion in front of them. Yeah. And they had to sort of stick with the headline or concentrate to figure out what was going on. And as soon as they figured it out, they're sucked in.
Yeah.
You know, you've kind of got them. And it was breaking the ads apart into these two-part concepts where the visual and the words and the visual were working together to create one idea, neither of which, neither the words or the visual could do it completely themselves, was really the creative breakthrough that was going on in the 60s when we opened the show of Mad Men. That sort of thinking was just beginning to happen.
Well, you mentioned in your book, or you show the ad for Volkswagen. Now, again, this is way before many of our listeners would have been alive, but a big, basically white space on a full page with a small little Volkswagen in the upper left-hand corner. Just take a few seconds to tell us about that.
Sure. And what's funny about that ad is you have to sort of picture the ad in a magazine with tons of ads and tons of images, and you're flipping through, and suddenly you get this big white blank page with a little teeny car in it, and it was confusing to people. They didn't know what to make of it. You know, was it a mistake, or was it a misprint or something like that? And then the headline, which was Think Small, explained what they were looking at, which was, it's a small car, which was kind of a revolutionary big idea at the time. But it's still that same principle of confuse people with the picture and explain with the headline that I was trying to illustrate in the book.
We don't seem to see enough of that these days. We see lots of bright, flashing, quick-moving images. Sometimes I think a little silence could help us all pay a little bit more attention.
Well, I think when, you know, people get nervous and timelines get shorter and everybody's watching the sales of every quarter, people feel that they don't want to let their customers discover, or they don't want to take anything for granted, you know, and they're not as willing to sort of play with people and include them and their intelligence in the process of getting to know the advertising and being a part of the message.
Ironically, it's like going back to the 1800s where they had every single ad, had every single piece of information you'd ever need to know. about a you know, a wheelbarrow or a toolbox,
yeah, exactly.
Right? You know. Unfortunately, Josh, we are out of time, but let me say the book again. This is a fascinating book. Anybody who is in, who owns a business, is interested in marketing and needs to understand the power of advertising and how to use it. The book is Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling. Josh, what a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.